This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Brukhim Abam, welcome everyone. That was a little bit of a flavor of what it was like in Mitzrayim during the chaos of the Makos. That was intentionally designed by Agra de Perka, of course, to give you a better appreciation for the what it was like in the land of Egypt during the barrage of the Makos. Thank you everybody for joining us today. Brukhim Abam to the Kollel Agra de Perka, which is led by Reb Ezra Klein, and we thank Reb Chaim Fuhrer for organizing and arranging for today's events. Baruch Hashem, now we're operating on all cylinders. We're on the Zoom, we're on the telephone line, and I want to speak about a subject today which is relevant to not only this week's parsha, but the entirety of Sefer Shemois, and really a very fundamental subject to understanding Chumash. And let us begin with the Netziv's introduction to the Chumash. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the Mar Mekoymos on the screen. Let's try that. And hopefully... okay, that should be good. Here we go. Make it a little bit bigger. Fine, very good. So the Netziv tells us in the Hamakdavar and the Psicha to Sefer Shemois, that Sefer Shemois has a unique name. Typically, traditionally, we refer to Sefer Shemois as Sefer Shemois. It's the Book of Names. After all, it begins by enumerating the names of the Shvatim, and it gives the name for Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, "What's your name? What should I tell Klal Yisrael your name is?" So Sefer Shemois is appropriately referred to as the Book of Names. However, the Ramban at the end of Sefer Bereishis refers to Shemois as Sefer HaGeula. These are the two names of Shemois. Shemois, Sefer HaGeula. However, comes the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, and he says a new name for the Sefer. He refers to Bereishis as Bereishis. He refers to Vayikra as Sefer Koyhanim. He refers to Bamidbar as Chumash HaPakudim. And he refers to Devarim as Mishnah Torah. And then, get a load of this, what does the Bahag term and call the second book of the Chumash? The second book he calls Chumash Sheni, Book 2. Wow, what a brilliant name for the second book of the Chumash. Book 2. How did the Bahag ever come up with that one? First of all, it's inconsistent. All the other books have names. Bereishis, Tiras Koyanim, Chumash HaPakudim, Mishnah Torah. So what happened? The Bahag ran out of names for the second book, and he calls it Chumash Sheni. Why did he call it Chumash Sheni? Why doesn't he give it a name? Apparently, the Bahag is of the opinion that this is a highly... I'm sorry? That this is a highly appropriate name for the book of Sefer Shemois. Why does the Bahag refer to it as Sefer Sheni? Yeah, okay, so regarding the phone line, the Zoom is much clearer. If anybody's able to come onto the Zoom, it's much clearer channel than the phone. Okay.
Gladstein, I'm going to go back in and I'm going to put it in non-question and answer mode so they won't be able to unmute themselves.
Okay, very good. So that is the opening question. Why is Sefer Shemois called by the Bahag Sefer Sheni? And in fact, Rabbi say the Gemara in Masechta Soita, in fact, also uses this terminology. The Gemara in Soita, Lamed Vav Amed Beis. The Gemara says, Loi kederach shecholkin b'chumash hapakudim. Not like it's divided in Sefer Bamidbar. Ela kederach shechalukin be, but rather the way it's divided in the book of B'chumash Sheni. So this expression of Chumash Sheni is actually based in the Gemara, to which the Gemara refers to the book of Shemois as Chumash Sheni. So as the Netziv says, Shuta, the Rabbi Seinu, the expression of our Chachamim, is certainly something that is worthy of our attention. Let's discuss another subject, and that is the Chovos HaVavos teaches us that one
is now in presentation mode.
The Chovos HaVavos teaches us that one has to constantly upgrade and update their level of understanding of the narratives in the Chumash and the tefillos that we say regularly. Otherwise, we're in danger of forever maintaining an elementary or a childish understanding of certain tefillos that we say regularly or certain narratives in the Chumash. And I think if there was one narrative that the Chovos HaVavos was discussing, it's got to be the Makos. I think, unfortunately, there's still a very primitive and elementary understanding that we have of the Makos. Somehow, what are the Makos? It's like the circus, you know, all the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, all of HaShalom, before Yidden, you know, there used to be a circus for 100 years until we started making our own Chalamite circuses, and then the circus disappeared forever. You know, I'll let you think about that one. But we think the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, basically, he went to the Bronx Zoo, he unlocked all the animals, and he said, you know, wreak havoc in Mitzrayim. We sort of have a elementary understanding what in the world was Ribbono Shel Olam trying to accomplish with the Makos. It was just seems to us as just major chaos in the land of Egypt. Another important question is raised by Reb David Kohen, the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron, in his Sefer Mizmar LaDavid Maimer Zayin. And that is, Reb David Kohen points out that the way the Makos seem to have presented themselves in the Torah is the Ribbono Shel Olam is one after another, barrage after barrage, maka after maka, relentless. The Ribbono Shel Olam brings one plague after another with no interruption. Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, no interruption in this in the Torah, no injection of mitzvahs. It's one plague after another after another. In fact, the Netziv writes that even though each maka lasted for a week and then there was a warning for 3 weeks, so in total it was a month, in between each makah, the Netziv writes, it was Zroya Hanatuya, God's hand was outstretched, indicating that even though there seemed to have been a reprieve, there was no reprieve in between the makahs at all, but God was Becherev, He was knocking off key Egyptian officials in between the makahs, not to give the Egyptians one moment to stop and to pause and to digest and to process what was going on. So this is one makah after another, from the beginning of Va'era until the end of Bai, and yet there is one interjection, there's one pause, right before Makas Bechoyrois. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Klal Yisrael, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim lemar, HaChodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshem. For some reason, the introduction to Makas Bechoyrois, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't just bring Makas Bechoyrois right after Choshech, but there's actually a pause in between the end of Choshech and the beginning of Makas Bechoyrois. Namely, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a mitzvah to Klal Yisrael. Okay, I understand the mitzvah happened then. It was given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But why is it recorded in the Torah at that interval? All the other Makos are one after another, after another, after another. Why is Makas Bechoyrois, so to speak, is there a pause of many psukim about HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem and the Karban Pesach? So Merv Rabbeisai, let us discuss what the tachlis of the 10 Makos were. We'll begin with the Psikta Zutrasi. And the Psikta says in the Medrash Lekach Toiv, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Hashkem Baboiker, for every makah that God brought on the Egyptians, Moshe Rabbeinu only brought it al pi hagevura, says the Medrash. Yavoyu asara mamorois shel eser makos. Let the 10 statements of the 10 plagues come and pay back the Egyptians and Paroi who wanted to subjugate the Jewish people. Shebaavuram nivra ha'ilam asar makos. Then on their account, the world was created with 10 makos. So here the Psikta is sort of directing our minds to recognize a parallel between the 10 plagues with which he plagued the Egyptians and the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. So, at first glance, it seems 10 and 10, they're both 10. God created the world with 10 statements. God brought the Makos with 10 statements, and they somehow go hand in hand. However, let's analyze this. Let's study for a few moments. What are the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world, and what is their connection to the 10 Makos? In Pirkei Avos, Parakei, Mishnah Aleph, it says, Ba'asora ma'amores nivra olam. God created the world with 10 statements. And the Mishnah asks, why did Hashem have to do that? He could have created the world with one statement. It's basically to pay back the wicked, that when they sin and they make the world pointless, they defeat the purpose of creation, so now Hashem is going to punish them for destroying a world that was created with 10 statements, and to reward the tzaddikim who they uphold a world that was created with 10 statements. But the obvious question is, Rabbi Isai, what's going on over here? Because if you actually go to Bereshis and you count with how many statements did God create the world, you will only find 9 statements with which Hashem created the world. What are they? Number one, on day one, Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Ar. You're with me? You could see me? Another advantage of the Zoom is you could see my count, okay? So just FYI, if you want to see the finger count, you got to go on the Zoom. Okay, so number one, Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Ar. That's day one. God said there should be light. Day two, Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Rakia. There should be a firmament between the Mayim and the Mayim. That's on day two. Day three, Vayomer Elokim, Yikavu Hamayim El Makom Echad. And on day three again, God said twice, Vayomer Elokim, Tadshe Haaretz Desha. So day three has two Vayomers. That's why this shiur is on Tuesday, because Keneged, day three, that got two Vayomers, Vayomer Elokim, Vayihi Toiv, it says twice, Vayihi Toiv on Yom Shlishi. That's why Reb Chaim made sure that today's shiur was on Tuesday, right? Yeah, he acknowledges that. Okay, fine. Then Wednesday, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ma'orais. Yehi Ma'orais is day four, so we have 5 so far. Day five, Vayomer Elokim Yeshutzu Hamayim Sheretz Nefesh Chayav Oifi Oifef. So on day five, there was a Maimar. On day six, Vayomer Elokim Toitzi Aretz Nefesh Chayav, God created the animals. And then Vayomer Elokim Nasa Adam. So as you could all see, that on in the 7 days of creation, God made 10 statements, right? Right? 10 statements. 2 on day 3, 2 on day 6, a total of 8. So what's the Gemara, the Mishnah talking about? Basara Mamores, Nivra Olam, there are only 8 statements. The problem is, the Gemara asks, in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Beis, Basara Mamores, Shabahem Nivra Olam, Hai Ninhu, what are they? Vayomer deBereishis Teshava. God only said Vayomer 9 times, and the Gemara answers Bereishis Nami Mamarhu. Bereishis is also a statement. So you're watching my fingers. So we had 8 before, and Bereishis is number 10. So obviously the question is, we're still missing one, because we have 8 Vayomers in Bereishis. Bereishis Nami Mamarhu. Now, what does that mean, Bereishis Nami Mamarhu? Dechsev, Bedvar Hashem, Shamayim Naasu. By the word of God, the heavens were created. So the creations of heaven and earth was also a statement. So the Malbim asks, why doesn't it say, Vayoymer Elokim, Yehi Shamayim Ba'aretz? And the Malbim says very beautifully that there's a very big difference between the word Vayoymer and Vayedaber. Vayoymer refers to when you talk to someone or something. Vayedaber refers to speaking even though someone might not be listening. So for example, all the acts of creation, God said to the original matter, be the light, be the birds, be the stars, be the animals. So God is speaking to something. So it could say Vayomer. But the original act of creation is what we call a creation ex nihilo, is something out of nothing. God wasn't speaking to anybody. So it can't say Vayomer, it says Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Naasu. So when someone's talking and no one's listening, by the way, that's a very frequent occurrence. especially if you give drasha, not in Agra DePirka, but in other venues perhaps, when you speak and nobody's listening, that's called dibur. When you speak to someone, that's called amira. So the eight amirais are God speaking to the original matter. However, the first act of creation was creation ex nihilo. It's bedvar Hashem shamayim nasu. Marv rabbeisai, so we're still not out of the waters yet. Because we have two statements on day three, two statements on day six. The Gemara is Megala, there are two statements on day one, Yehi Ar and Bereishis, but that's only nine. We are missing the tenth statement with which God created the world. So actually, this is a subject in and of itself, but I would like to share with you, there are a number of approaches in the Mefarshim. Today we're going to be working with the approach of the Vilna Gaon, and the Gemara says, here are the ten statements with which God created the world. Number 29, the Gemara says, Bereishis is one. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Ar is two. So that's two on day one. On day two, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rakia. On day three, we have two, Yikavu Amayim and Tadshe Aretz Desha. On day four, Yehi Ma'orois. On day five, Yishutzu Amayim. On day six, we have three. Three? I thought just the animals and man. No. Toitzi Aretz Desha. Nase Adam, and you ready for this one? Vayoymer Elokim, hine nasati lachem es kol esev zorei hazara. Dinner is served. The creation of food, says the Vilna Gaon, the tenth and final statement with which God created the world, is dinner is served. Vayoymer Elokim, hine nasati lachem es kol esev zorei hazara la'achla. God is giving us food to eat. That is the tenth statement with which God created the world. We are going to be focusing and dealing with this approach of the Vilna Gaon, that the tenth statement with which God created the world is the creation of food. I do want to share with you, there are a number of other systems. The Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, for example, in number 30, the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer says that the tenth statement with which God created the world is Veruach Elokim Merachefes Al Pnei Amoyim, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. This is the Bereishis Rabbah. Then the Bereishis Rabbah brings another approach, and that is Menachem Bar Yosi. He takes out Ruach Elokim Merachefes, and he instead counts Loi Toiv Heyos HaAdam Levadoi. That man is not fully completed until man is married. So the full completion of Adam is through the creation of Chava. So God tells Adam, it ain't good to be alone. And that is the final creation of the world. There's another approach, meaning, namely, the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, number 31. And Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer says, Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, interestingly, takes out Bereishis. Bereishis is not a mamar, according to Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer. So how do you get 10 statements? Well, you have 2 on day 3 and 2 on day 6, that's 8. And then, says Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, there are another additional 2 on day 6. He counts dinner is served as a mamar, food, and marriage. These are all mamarim. There are other approaches as well. The Meleches Shloimai quotes an approach, he takes out Bereishis, and he puts in food, and he puts in marriage, like the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, and then you have the Tikkunei Zohar says no Bereishis, no marriage, it's food and Pruravu. But today we're going to be working with the approach of the Vilna Gaon, that the tenth and final statement with which the Almighty created the world, that I'm giving you food, dinner is served. Okay, so we know God created the world with ten statements, and somehow the ten makos correspond to the ten statements with which the Ribbono Shel created the world. So let's begin with the commentary of the Tzrar Hamar, Rabbi Avram Saba. Rabbi Avram Saba was one of the Gerushei Sfarad. He was one of the exilees from Spain in 1492. Unfortunately, he could not take his manuscripts of his commentary on the Chumash with him. He had to bury it. He never saw it again. Likewise, he left Spain to Portugal, and his two children were taken away from him, and they were forcibly baptized, and he never saw them again. Baruch Hashem, the Tzra Amar was able to rewrite his commentary on the Chumash from memory. He also had a son, and his granddaughter became the wife of Maran Bet Yosef. He became the grandfather-in-law of the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo. The Tzra Amar wrote a fantastic sefer on Chumash, and he poses the following question, which will start us off today. Namely, we know we say in Kiddush, we say that Kiddush is Zecher Lamase Bereshis, that we make Kiddush to remember the creation of the world. And then a few moments later, we say Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, that Kiddush is in memory of the Exodus. And he asks, what's going on over here? What, people are so tired, they have temporary amnesia Friday night, that first they say the Kiddush is Zecher to one thing, and then a few moments later, they conk out and they say Zecher to something else. I mean, you got to make up your mind. What is Kiddush? Is it Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, or is it Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim? So says the Tzra Amar, Paroi was a koifer in Brias HaOlam. Paroi was a heretic. He did not believe that Hashem controlled the heavens. He did not believe Hashem controlled the earth. He did not believe Hashem had mastery over the water, the land, the air. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to show Paroi, Paroi, you don't believe in creation? You don't believe I created the world ex nihilo? You don't believe in Brias HaOlam? I will demonstrate my mastery over all aspects of creation. Over the Shamayim. You don't believe Yehi Rakia? You don't believe Yehi Ma'ayrois? I'm going to bring Barad. I'm going to bring Choyshech. You don't believe that I created the earth? I'm going to bring Kinim. I'm going to bring Shechin. You don't believe I created the waters? I'm going to bring Dam. And the purpose of the Makos is through the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam was verifying and authenticating Maaseh Bereishis. So the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim literally are the Eidos and the testimony and the verification and authentication of the creation of heaven and earth. The 10 Makos correspond to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. Paroi, you don't believe I created the world in 10 statements? I will authenticate and verify it through the 10 Makos, which demonstrate my mastery over water, land, and air. Therefore, Kiddush is both Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Through the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam verified that He indeed created the world. That is the foundational teaching of the Tzar Hamar, and comes the Maral, and the Maral just opens up the heavens here, and he brings this to a completely new level. The Maral says that this concept that Hashem created the world with 10 statements, and it was verified by the 10 Makos, it wasn't a general idea. That 10 parallel 10. Says the Maral, each one of the Makos verified a different statement with which Hashem created the world. The first statement being Bereishis, the last statement being supper is served, I'm giving you food. Each one of the Makos verified another statement with which God created the world, but the general approach of the Maral is that it went backward, and we'll explain as follows. The first Makkah was the Makkah of Dam, and that verified the statement of creation that God created food. Because what happens to food? You eat it, you digest it, you decompose it, you break up the particles and the matter, you reconstitute it, and it becomes your blood. So blood really is the food that you eat. The food that you eat is turns into blood. So Hashem says, Paro, you don't believe that I created food for mankind? The ability for mankind to decompose, reconstitute the molecules of food and turn it into blood? Pharaoh, I'm going to show my mastery over blood to you. All the water is going to turn into blood. So the first makah corresponds to the 10th statement with which Hashem created the world. Next, Tzvardeya, Paro, you don't believe in the 7th statement of creation, that the water should teem with fish, birds, creepy crawling things? Well, Paro, there are going to be frogs croaking in your stomach, in your kneading bowls, in your ovens, in your refrigerators, everywhere, Paro. You're going to take out a sandwich to eat, and you're going to be eating a frog sandwich. If you don't believe my mastery over... By the way, the Agra de Pirka Shiurim are not necessarily for a general audience, especially today's shiur about the Makos, so you might want to brace yourself before you hear some of the gory details. But that's just... public awareness announcement. So, Paro, you don't believe that Hashem created the creepy crawling things. I'm going to show you my mastery over Yishvitzu Amayim through Makas Tzvardeya. Paro, I said in the 4th statement with which I created the world, all the water should gather and the dry land should appear. You don't believe in my mastery over the earth, over the particles of dirt, over the dry land. You're going to see the top soil of Egypt will turn into kinem, into lice, and you will see my mastery, that I'm the one who said, Vayoymer Elohim yikavu amayim el mokoyim echad v'seira yabasha. Paro, you don't believe in the 8th statement with which I created the world, that animals should emerge from the earth, toitzi ha'aretz nefesh chaya. Paro, watch this show. There are going to be wild animals everywhere. You're going to get a knock on the door. It's going to be a polar bear. He's coming to get you, Paro. And don't say you're not going to open the door. We like to say this over every year. The Medrash says Hashem sent an octopus. He put a suction cup on the lock. He sucks out the lock, and the polar bear comes into the house. By the way, that's not a pleasant feeling when you see that octopus in your peephole removing the lock on your front door, and then he's followed by a barrage of bears. Not a good feeling. Next, Paroi, I'm the one who said, Vayar Malikim, Yehi Ma'oiroi Sperki HaShemayim. I'm the one who said there should be luminaries, the sun, the moon, the stars. You don't believe in that? I'm going to bring plague. Now, what does the plague have to do with the luminaries? Well, the Maral writes, it's well known that illness comes to the world through dust particles of the various luminaries of the heavens. Now you read this, it sounds like some kind of ancient belief, but Rashi does bring in Chumash on the 4th day of creation, that child illness is affected and effectuated through the eclipse of the sun and the moon. So Hashem says, you don't believe I created the heaven and the earth? I will demonstrate, in fact, my sovereignty, my control over the luminaries through Dever. Now this is very interesting. The Maral says that of all the Makos, there's only one Maka that the Chartumim were embarrassed to appear before Para. Which Maka? Shchin. Because, you know, they had big pimples on their nose. It looked like they looked like Pinocchio. They had boils coming out of their foreheads. They looked disfigured. So Maral asks, what do you mean? And if they had frogs coming out of their ear, imagine if the Chartumim had appeared before Moshe, and each Chartum, he had one frog arm coming out of one ear, one frog arm coming out. That's also pretty embarrassing. Maral says, no, it's not so embarrassing. Look, the guy is still a good-looking Egyptian. Elamai, he has a frog coming out of his nose. Okay, that's not him. That's an extra creature emerging from his orifice. But the shchin is the disfiguration of the body itself. So that was very embarrassing. That's why the Maral says of all the makas, the only makah the Chartumim didn't show up was shchin. They were embarrassed to come. So Hashem says, Paro, you don't accept Nasa Adam that I created man? I will demonstrate my control over man. Man will be so disfigured that you will acknowledge I am the creator of man. Paroi, you don't believe Yehi Rakia that I created the firmament, the heavens. I'm going to bring down Barad, ice, fire from the heavens. You'll see my control and superiority over the heavens. We're almost there. Bear with me. No pun intended. Arba. Arba was the eighth makah. That corresponds to the fourth statement with which Hashem created the world. Hashem said, Toitzi aretz desha. Let the world teem and produce vegetation, herbage, grass, bushes, growth. More than anything else, the locusts are connected to vegetation. Throughout the Torah, Zera rav toitzi hasadeh uma'at te'asoif ki yachselenu ho'arba. Arba destroys vegetation. Kol eitzcho priad moscho yiyarash hatzlatzal. The locust destroys the growth. Paro, you don't believe that I said there should be grass and trees and bushes? Watch this, look what happens. Now, darkness. Let's see if you could figure out. What does darkness correspond to? Says Maral, obviously the ninth plague corresponds to the second statement with which God created the world. Namely, let there be light. Vayomer Elokim yehi ar. Pharaoh, you don't believe that I'm the one who turned on the light? We're going to turn the lights off. And then you will see if you acknowledge if I'm the one who created the light. And then finally, the tenth makah, makas b'choyrois. God says, makas b'choyrois corresponds to the first statement of creation, namely bereishis in the beginning. Paro, you don't believe I control the beginnings? You don't believe I have mastery over the beginning of creation? Well, watch what happens. Look what I could do to your firsts. Says the Maral, the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world were verified and authenticated by each makah corresponds to one particular statement with which God created the world. Now, if you read the Maral, it seems somewhat haphazard because Dam, number one, corresponds to the 10th statement of creation. And the ninth makah, Choshech, the second. And the tenth makah, Magzor, the first. So the bookends of the makos, makah 1 corresponds to the tenth statement of creation, makah 9 and 10 correspond to the second and first, but the ones in the middle are haphazardly related. However, Rav David Kohen, Rav Shiva of Chevron in his Sefer, Mizmar LeDavid, says that in the approach of the Maral, the makos correspond to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world backward. So now, the writer of the Sefer Mizmar LeDavid is a good friend of mine in Lakewood, Rav Moshe Gruen. So I called up Rav Moshe. By the way, he also is the Kosev of the Yareach LeMayadim of Rabbi Ruch Malshin. So I said, Moshe, I don't understand what the Rosh Hashiva is saying. Because the makos do not correspond backward to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. It's only makah 1 corresponds to statement 10. Blood to the creation of food. Darkness 9 to the second statement, the light. 10 makas b'chayros to the creation of the beginning. So Rav Moshe went, he asked Rav David Kohen, and Rav David Kohen says that he feels that if the bookends of the makos correspond to the 10 statements of creation backward, then that establishes the whole pattern that way. That in the approach of the Maral, the way we should view it is, God created the world in 10 statements. With each statement, God progressively revealed His mastery over even a greater dimension of the universe. Then, in the course of time, it began to be forgotten, the 10th revelation of creation, and then it was forgotten, the 9th revelation of creation, and the 8th revelation of creation, and the 7th. So when God reinstated it, first, He said like this, the first thing, Makkah, I'm going to bring is Dam. Dam corresponds to the creation of food. I'm going to remind you of what you forgot first. And then I'm going to remind you of what you forgot after that. And then I'm going to remind you until Ribbono Shel Olam said, I'm going to remind you that you went ahead and forgot creation itself, ex nihilo, and that was reminded with makas b'chayrois. Now, Marav Rabbeisai, according to this system of the Maral, which by the way is working with the approach of the Gra, that the tenth statement with which Hashem created the world is a creation of food. It comes out, we're going to see, Niflois mi Tairasenu, wonders from the Torah, of some of the details of the Makos and how they correspond so magnificently with the 10 statements with which God created the world. Take a look, please, at number 10 on the screen. We're going to talk about the Makos of Arba. The Makos of Arba corresponds to the creation of food, of herbage. Excuse me, Makos of Arba corresponds to Desha, the plant life, the trees, the bushes. So look what we have over here. We have a non-compliant Arba. Look in the command of the Arba. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, V'chisa ase ein ha'aretz v'lo yuchal. Roi says ha'aretz, it's going to cover the light of the land. You're not going to be able to see the land. V'yachal es yasar ha'plita ha'nishar zochem en ha'barad. It's going to eat up and consume the remnant that remains from the barad. V'yachal es kol ha'etz. It will consume all the trees. That's what God said. The Arba will consume the trees. And then we come to what the Arba did. Here's the account of what the Arba did. Vayichas esein kol haaretz vatechshach haaretz. So it covers the light of the land, and the earth is dark. Vayichal es kol esev haaretz. It ate the herbage. V'eis kol peri haetz, and the fruit. V'loinoi ser kol yerek, and there are no leaves left. What's going on over here? God said the Arba is going to eat the tree, and the Arba didn't eat the tree. The Arba ate the grass, and the fruit of the tree, and the leaves of the tree. We have non-compliant Arba. God says, hey Arba, eat the eitz. They don't eat the eitz. They eat the pre-eitz. How could such a thing be? Says Rav David Kayin, it's deja vu all over again. Because the whole purpose of Arba, and by the way, he didn't actually say those words, just to clarify. But the Arba is authenticating and verifying the fourth statement with which God created the world, namely, Toitzi Ha'aretz Desha. Now let's analyze how did Hashem create the world. Vayar Melekim, God said, Tadshe Aretz Desha, that the earth sprout with herbage, Esem Azurazurah. God says, Eitz Peri Oise Peri. Fruit trees, producing fruit. God says, I don't just want the tree to produce fruit. Eitz Peri, I want the tree to taste like fruit. We all know God told the tree, hey, apple tree, I want the bark to taste like apple. I want people to bite into the wood and taste apple. I want people to bite into the orange tree and taste an orange. And did the trees listen? We all know the trees didn't listen. Batoitze aretz deshe, the earth gave herbage. Esav mazria zera limineu. V'eitz oise pri. And a tree that produces fruit, but not a tree that tastes like fruit. So God says, I want the tree to taste like fruit, but the tree didn't listen. So the Arba, which is just verifying and authenticating the statement with which Hashem created the world, of Tadshe Aretz Desha, the same way when Hashem created the world, the tree didn't listen, the tree was told, tastes like fruit, but it didn't taste like fruit. The Arba was told, eat the tree, and it didn't eat the tree, it ate the fruit. Next offering. Marv Rabbeisai, I'm going to tell you one of the most astounding chidushin that ever occurred to me. But first I want to tell you the chidush of Rav David Kayin. Here we have Makas B'chayrois. In Makas B'chayrois, as an introduction to Makas B'chayrois, Hashem says, Zayim Hashem HaMosh Vel Aaron, HaChodesh Az Elohim, God recreates time. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam recreates time. How does He recreate time? Because until that time, the year began in Tishrei, and God said, no more, the year no longer begins in Tishrei, from now on the year begins in Nisan. From now on the year begins in Chodesh Nisan. So God is recalculating time. He's re-maneuvering time. He's recreating time. Time no longer starts from Rosh Hashanah, it starts from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why is Ribbono Shel Olam doing that? Says Rav David Kayin, It's deja vu all over again. This is not the first time Hashem did such a thing. According to the Maharal and according to the Gra, the first statement of creation was Bereishis Bara Elokim. That corresponds to which Makas B'chayrais. Marv Raboisai, I have a simple question to ask you. And perhaps other questions, I would let somebody get away by saying, you know, I didn't get up to that yet in Chumash. But you can't say that for this question. My question is, what does the word mean, Bereishis? Bereishis Bara Elokim. I don't want to hear you didn't get up to that word yet. You know, that far you must have got. Bereishis. Rashi points out the word Bereishis means in the beginning of, it's a word which should be Davuk, otherwise it would say Barishaina. So Bereishis means in the beginning of what? You know what's missing in the Pasuk? What? The word what? Bereishis, in the beginning of, it should say Bereishis, Brias Ha'olam, Vayor Melekim, Yehi Shamayim Ba'aretz. You know, we say in davening, Baruch She'amar, V'haya Olam Barucho. Baruch Oiseh Bereishis. Blessed is he who created in the beginning. That doesn't make any sense. It should say, Baruch Oiseh Masa Bereishis. The one who created the works of creation. But what does it mean, Baruch Oiseh Bereishis? We say in Olenu, Laseis Gedula, to give greatness, Liyoitzer Bereishis, to one who fashioned, should say, Bibereishis, in the beginning. What's Liyoitze Bereishis? So the Siddur Siach Yitzchak, the Siddur Hagra brings, and this is also brought by none other than the Gra himself in the Adaras Eliyahu. This is cited by the Malbim. This is brought by the Dubna Magid, that even though that Rashi is correct, Ein Hamikra Hazeh Omer Ela Darshini. This pasuk says, expound me. The only thing is, there is a concept, Ein Mikra Yotzimide Pshutai, that a pasuk has to have a straightforward meaning. So what is the straightforward meaning of the word Bereishis Bar Elokim? It cannot mean in the beginning of God created. Says the Dubna Magid, Shlomo HaMelech says, Lakol zman v'yes l'chol chifetz tachas hashamayim. Lakol zman. For everything there's time. You know what that means? What that means is before God could create plant, animal, fish, sun, moon, man, God needs a context and a container to fit everything into. All of creation has to fit into a certain context. You know what the context that everything has been put into? Time. Bereishis. Time. Beginnings. Until that point in time, there's no such thing as a beginning, a middle, and the end. The first act of creation is the creation of time. Zman is a bria. And in the creation of time, God then placed all matter. Bereishis. Time, Bara Elohim, Eis HaShamayim, V'Eis HaAretz. The first act of creation was the creation of time. And once God created time, He could put everything in it. Marv Raboisai says, Rab David Koyin, a Ga'ina She'en Kamayu. The same way, the first statement with which God created the world, Bereishis, that statement, that first act of creation, the first concept and matter created was the creation of time. So too, with which Makkah does God reinstate and authenticate the first statement of creation, Makas B'chayrais. So how does God introduce Makas B'chayrais? I'm going to recreate time. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. From now on, time doesn't move from the seventh month to the through the year. Time begins to move, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And now I'm going to share with you a gift from heaven. What's the first Rashi in Chumash? Rashi, the first Rashi in Chumash is Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Loi haya sarach lahaschel es haTorah. The Lord should have only started the Torah with the pasuk HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. So Rashi begins the Chumash with the Kasha on the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have a question. Why didn't you start the Chumash? Vayomer Elohim, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Vel Aaron, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. After all, the Torah is a book of mitzvahs, and this should be the first mitzvah in the Torah. Lo hayotzarach lahaschel es haTorah, ela meHaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. So you know what I like to say? The Ribbono Shel Olam heard Rashi's Kasha on Shemayim, and he says, Taira Rashi, you're right. If I would ever create the world again, I would definitely listen to you and start with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Oh, Otazoi! In Sefer Shemois, Hashem recreates the world. What's the first Makkah, which reinstates the first act of creation? In other words, which Makkah reinstates Bereishis? Makkas Mechayreis. So how does Hashem introduce Makkas Mechayreis? Vayim Hashem Moshvanara, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. Rashi, you're right. You know what? If I would ever recreate the world, I would start it with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. And sure enough, the Ribbono Shel Olam follows Rashi's advice. And when he recreates the world with Makkas Mechayreis, he introduces it with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Or we could say it a little nicer. We could say, who told Rashi that it's such a good idea to start the Torah with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? Rashi says, oh, look, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know that's the better way to start the Torah, because the proof's in the pudding. Because when you recreated the world with Makkas Mechayreis, you recreated the world by introducing it with Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Vel Aaron, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. Or you could say another beautiful nekuda, that if the first act of creation is God's creation of time, Makkas Mechayreis then demonstrates Hashem's mastery over time. How do we see it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to say Bachatzois, because nobody can know exactly the precise moment of midnight, but God, in His infinite wisdom and control, is able to say Bachatzois. Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, I control time perfectly. I could tell you exactly when midnight is. So when I'm recreating the world, my first act of recreation is showing my sovereignty and mastery over time, namely, Bachatzois Halayla Vani Yotze Betzoich Mitzrayim. So the Arbe, it's deja vu all over again. They don't listen like the Eights didn't listen. And Ribbono Shel Olam recreates the world, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, His mastery over time, with the Makkas Mechayreis. By the way, furthermore, we could say the Medrash says, Bereishis, God created the world for thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu through for the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim, right? Bishvil Bikurim, Bara Olam, because of the essential, fundamental nature of gratitude. So likewise, when Hashem recreates the world as an introduction to Makkas Mechayreis, Hashem gives us the Carbon Pesach, which what kind of carbon is the carbon Pesach? It's a carbon toida. The same way the first act of creation is Bereishis Mitzvah Bikurim, so too Makkas Mechayreis is introduced with the carbon Pesach. Now, I want to share with you briefly another system. I'll tell you very quickly. This system is working with the Maral and the Gra, that the way the Makos correspond to the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world is backward. Dam corresponds to Nasa Adam. Choshech to the second statement of creation, Yihyar. Makkas Mechayreis to Bereishis. There's another way to look at it, and that is the approach of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, who is a student of a student of the Goyin. He's called the Peshlishi of the Goyin. And he says the Makos correspond to the statements with which Hashem created the world in order. Makos Dam corresponds to Bereishis. And the final Makah, Makkas Mechayreis, corresponds to let us make man. In other words, Paroi, you don't believe I created man? Watch this. Look at my control and my mastery over man. So corresponding to the creation of man is Makkas Mechayreis. V'Hashem Heir Einai. Then it comes out an amazing analogy between Makkas Mechayreis and Nasa Adam. There's an $1 million question on Makkas Mechayreis. Who did it? In the Haggadah, we say, Ani v'loi malach, ani v'loi sarach, ani v'loi shliach, ani hu v'loi acher. And the Pasuk says explicitly, put the blood on the doorpost so that the mashchis doesn't wham you. What mashchis? I thought God did it Himself. It's the one makkah we say, Ani, 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 God, nobody else. And it's the one makkah that it says, beware of the mashchis. What mashchis? Furthermore, if you look at number 14, by the way, if anybody wants the Marah Mekoymos of today's shir, please, if you look behind, there's a email address, office@rabbidg.com, or you could go to our website, rabbidg.com, and get the Marah Mekoymos. Or I sent it to Reb Tzvi, but I'm going to get it to Yisrael Maskos. We'll get it to Agur DePirka as well, if anybody wants the Marah Mekoymos. But I want to share with you, the Rashbats, the Tashbates on Pirkei Avos, he says, another interesting question here, he says that by Makas Bechoris it says, Vashem Hika, and God smote. And the Medrash says, whenever it says Hashem, it's God and His Bezdin. What do you mean, God and His Bezdin? I thought it's Ani, 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 it's God Himself, nobody else. So I would like to suggest as follows, right? This is a major question. Who did Makas Bechoris? God says, Ani v'loy mach, Ani v'loy sarf, Ani v'loy shliach. And the Chumash, it says, God had a bezdin, and the Chumash, it says, that God, there was a mashchis. How do you deal with this? So the answer is as follows. It's deja vu all over again. Makas b'choyrois corresponds to Nase Adam. Now, we just ask everyone to mute. Makas b'choyrois corresponds to Nase Adam. Now let's go to Nase Adam. Who created man? So there's a famous kasha. Nase Adam. God says, let us make man. Who's Ribbono Shel Olam talking to? So Rashi says, God's talking to the angels. Even though there's makayim for a heretic to make an error and to say, Chas v'shalom, there's more than one God. But Hashem responds right away, Vayivra Elokim Asa Adam, God created man. And the reason it says that Nasa Adam is to teach midos v'derech eretz, that a superior should always ask the advice of his inferiors. So did God, was anyone else involved in the creation of man? No. Did the Malachim help God in the creation of man? No. So why are the Malachim cited? It's Derech Eretz. That when you do something big, you seek the advice of the inferior, even though you're not really going to listen to them. So it's the same thing with Makas Bechoros. It's deja vu all over again. Makas Bechoros is authenticating and verifying Nasa Adam. There ain't no Bezdin bringing Makas Bechoros. There ain't no Mashchis. But it's just Midos V'Derech Eretz, that if Hashem is bringing a Makah of this magnitude, He words it in a way as if he's consulting, he's asking someone's opinion, he's having somebody help him. So Makas Bechoros directly parallels Nasa Adam. So Marav Raboisai, when the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim are not just one-time events, but they literally authenticate and verify the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world. And therefore, when we make Kiddush Friday night, not on a styrofoam cup, obviously, we say it's Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, but it's also Zecher L'Masa Bereishis, because the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim are what we call creation take two. Pharaoh, you don't believe in Briyas HaOlam, you don't believe in the 10 statements with which Hashem created the world, I am going to authenticate and verify it through the 10 Makos. And coming full circle, perhaps this is the deeper meaning of why the Bahag has dubbed and refers to Bereishis as Sefer Sheni, Book 2. What kind of name is that? He ran out of names. The answer is, Bereishis is the first book of creation. And if you didn't get it, and you don't accept it, Ribbono Shel Olam says, take two, I'm going to verify Bereishis, I'm going to authenticate Briyas HaOlam through the 10 Makos with which Hashem smote the Mitzrim. So hopefully this will give us a better appreciation for the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that this was literally a Briya Chadasha, a Briyas HaOlam Mechadash, and was teaching the world that which we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is most certainly Zecher L'Masa Bereishis. Thank you everybody for joining. You can join us every Monday at 10:30, Agur DePirka. Marav Raboisai, Have a great day. Kol tov.
Thank you, Rabbi Gladstein. I want you to know that you have people from 5 different states and from Eretz Yisrael listening to this year.
Gvaldik.
Recognize the names.
I see, I see from Ramat Beit Shemesh, we had.
There's from Miami, there's from West Palm Beach, there's from Flatbush, I can't get into all the names, from Queens, from Borough Park, and from Eretz Yisrael. Interesting.
I see the Randells. How are you doing?
All together, all in one world, basically.
Don't forget Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland too.
Maryland too. Okay.
Marvitzara, and thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
It's okay. Like a Sarama Amarot, a Sarame Komot.
Right. Okay. Everybody, please join us and tell your friends about it.
It's going to be sworn.
Damon, we have listening every day. We can have 1,000 people listening.
Yes,
get the word out to your friends.
Hey, Kalta. Bye-bye. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.